Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy 15, verses 11, 1 through 11. Deuteronomy 15, verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelite owes you. However, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I'm giving you today, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you'll be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. Just pray that you will speak to us and meet with us today. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I just wanted to talk a little bit about giving to the poor. That's what this passage from Deuteronomy is kind of talking about. So last night, we had worship practice, and it ended, I guess, around 9:30. I got home around 10:30, and I knew I had to preach at EMP, but I hadn't really done my quiet time yesterday because I was pretty busy. So I just kind of sat down and I started praying and kind of doing my thing with God. And then I happened to come across this email from my phone. And basically it was an email from this organization called World Food Program, WFP. Right? And I think I gave to them one time, like must have been for Pakistan or Haiti or something. So I was kind of moved at that time, so I gave a little bit. And ever since then, I've been on their mailing list, and they've been sending me some updates here and there. And I usually delete it, or I just ignore it. But for some reason, yesterday, I was reading the email they sent me. Basically, it was about Ivory Coast. And if you don't know what's going on, I think you can go online and find out more. But there's just basically been turmoil going on in that country, because there was a recent presidential election, and because of that, people are unhappy, and there's stuff going on that's making people very afraid. People are leaving their homes, running away. They're basically fleeing to neighboring countries, and there's kind of a civil war kind of thing that's happening. And basically, this guy was there, and he was writing a plea to say, this is what's happening. We're trying to give them food, we're trying to make these things happen, but we're very short on funding. And as I was reading that, I just felt like God was kind of speaking to me. You know, when P. Sam was preaching about compassion a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, when your heart moves you, when a situation moves you and you don't do anything, you just grow a little bit colder, you know, a little bit more hard-hearted and stuff like that. And I felt like God was kind of speaking to me about just doing something, you know, giving a little bit, whatever it might be. And then God kind of was talking to me about giving, so I thought maybe I'll share a little bit about giving to the poor and stuff like that. So what's God's heart for the poor? Let's turn to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. Verses 7 and 8. Psalm 113, verse 7 and 8. It says this: He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. Right? It says He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He makes them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. This is a passage that I kind of received when I was in India, when I went on a DTS outreach trip to India. And we were basically helping out at the Mother Teresa homes with our team. And it was such a wonderful experience. But just in the morning devotional time, as we were praying together and kind of sharing the word, this passage really stuck out to me, that what we're doing, basically, when we were in Calcutta, God was kind of confirming that we're doing the things that were on His heart. You know, that it is God's business to help the poor and to lift them from where they're at and to bring them into a place of honor and to bring them into a place of, I guess, glory, you know, and love. So that's, God wants to reach out to the poor, right? God wants to help the poor and lift them from the needy, I mean, from the ash heap. If you turn to another passage with me, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 6 through 9. Isaiah 58, verse 6 says this: Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into the house, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light will break out from like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So this passage, basically, you know, the people of Israel are going through a fast, but they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything practical. You know, they might be fasting and being all spiritual, but with their lifestyle, they're not taking care of the poor. They're not taking care of the broken and the needy. And God's basically rebuking them and saying, well, the kind of fast you're doing is not what I want. The kind of fast that I want you to do is when you fast, you think about the poor and you give to the poor and you reach out to them and you provide for their need. And basically God's promise to them is you give of yourself to meet the needs of these people and I will give of myself and meet the needs of you. That my light will go forth and you will, you know, light will break out like the dawn. Recovery will come forth, you know, righteousness will go before you and God's going to be your rear guard, right? So God's promising these people a great blessing if they would step out in obedience, in faith, and give to the poor around them. So it's, I believe it's really God's heart to reach out to the poor and to give to the poor and give to the needy, which is great because, I mean, Pastor Sophia is heading up our ministry, right? And finally, our church has, you know, understood that it's on God's heart to really, I mean, reach out to the community, reach out to the poor. And so we're doing something. So, I mean, pray for this ministry. Pray that God will be with Pastor Sophia, make the right decisions and all that stuff. But in Deuteronomy, in the passage we read earlier today, we kind of get a foreshadowing. I believe, like, throughout the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses is teaching the Israelites how to be a people of God together, we're kind of getting a foreshadowing of what the kingdom of God would look like, right? But it's an imperfect picture of what it should look like, and it's also a picture of the kingdom of God in the natural, right, with the people of Israel, because that's what God's intention was, right? For the people of Israel to be a kingdom where there is no king, but God is their king. So you kind of get a picture of what the kingdom of God would look like, but in a very imperfect form. that happens in the natural. But in this inferior version of the kingdom of God, basically what God is saying in this passage is he's talking about equality of wealth, you know? He's making a way for people to keep themselves from being too wealthy or being too poor. Basically, God's saying, if you are wealthy, give to the poor. But when you give to the poor, after 7 years, cancel all debts. He's saying, don't, you know, hold it against them. Because that's what really brings about systemic poverty, right? Which is you hold this thing against the poor and they can never pay it back. And they just, poor people get poorer and wealthier people get wealthier. And God's saying, hey, don't let that happen. And he's saying, you got to do these things so you don't let that happen. So, how does it happen? Basically, so simple, right? The rich give to the poor. If you're rich, if you have money and there's poor people around you, give to the poor and don't like mass up your wealth. Don't hoard, which is so basic, but it goes to like the deep root of our evil, right? Money, the love of money, the root of all evil. And, you know, we talk about systemic poverty. We talk about, you know, we got to change the system, you know, all that stuff. But really, it gets down to the heart of the people and the greed of the people. You know, if it wasn't for the greed of all these corporations and you know, companies that just all they're focusing on is making money, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have all this crazy, like, tragedies that's happening, you know, with human trafficking and slavery and, you know, like sweatshops and stuff like that. It all comes down to greed, you know, it all comes down to that heart, which God talks about, you know. He says, don't have this, you know, in verse 9, he says, be careful not to harbor this wicked thought, you know, that the canceling debt, the year of canceling debt is near, so you don't give to the poor. He's talking about that heart of greed, that heart that just draws us to hoard and to mass up and to keep all our things. Then God's saying, no, you need to give to the poor and give generously. God, he says, God promises and says, I will provide for you. So you just give to the poor generously. In 1950, that's when this organization, World Vision, started. If you don't know what World Vision is, they right now what they're doing is, you can sponsor different children through World Vision. And they go all over the world to provide for the poor and to do work for the poor, mercy ministry. But in 1950s, it began, and it really began as a response to what was going on in Korea, right? It was right after the war, and the founder of World Vision was visiting Korea, and he saw the dire situation that the children were in, the orphans, and the country. It was in a mess. So basically, it began as a response to what was going on in Korea. And now, obviously, in that 50 years, 60 years, God has really blessed Korea, and we're doing okay. You know, we're doing fine, and we're able to help more people and stuff like that. But I believe that, we've taught this at church many times. We're blessed to be a blessing, right? God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing, right? In 1950s, it was countries like America that had a heart to help out the poor. You know, I mean, if the help didn't come to Korea, who knows what would have happened? As a Korean, you know, I can really appreciate what they did. But I don't think God just blessed us so that we can just be rich and be blessed, you know? But it's now our turn to look to the world and see, well, where is there a need? And how can we give? And how can we take part in blessing the poor, you know, and bringing them out of their ash heap and lifting them up from the place that they're in? Because, if it wasn't for them in the 1950s, the help didn't come to Korea, we would still be a mess. But now that help came, we need to do the same, you know, kind of thing. And for everybody, for all of us. So I just want to make three quick points about giving, about just our attitude of giving. The first point is, very simply, don't hoard, you know. Don't have this attitude of hoarding and keeping all your things to yourself. Because once we do that, we get into this mindset of it's never enough. You know, there's always more stuff we can get for ourselves, you know. You get an iPhone 4, iPhone 5 will come out in 6 months, you know. And then you're going to want that, and you're going to want the iPad, and you're going to want the new iPad. If we just have this attitude of, I just want to keep things, I want to gain things, it's never enough, because there's always new stuff coming out. But eventually we have to come to a point and say, you know what? What I have is enough. I don't really need another shirt. I don't need another dress. I don't need another whatever, a computer. And you learn to kind of let go, and you learn to kind of give, you know? And that's the spirit of poverty, that idea of, oh, I don't have enough. I'm never going to have enough. I need to hoard. I need to keep things. It's orphan mentality when we think like, oh, man, I better save up. I better keep things because who knows where it's going to come from next, you know? That spirit of poverty, that's the orphan spirit. But how do you break those things? You start operating in the opposite spirit, and you operate in the spirit of generosity. And you say, you know what? I know I have this thing where I want to like hoard and I'm worried about money and stuff like that. But you break that by doing the opposite, by giving very generously, you know? So look for ways to give. I'm not talking about the building fund, so don't take it the wrong way. I mean, I don't think you guys were taking it the wrong way anyway. But I'm more talking about just giving to the poor, looking out for what's going on in the world. And how can you be part of God's business of taking care of the poor, you know? Because God's left it up to us to partner with Him, to be His hands and feet, to go out. So if we don't do it, even though God's heart is for the poor to be lifted up, they might not get lifted up, right? So we got to take part in this and break this spirit of poverty, break this orphan mentality and start giving and start just being free with our money. And God will take care of you. So that's the first point. And the second point is, as you operate and start giving and stuff like that, watch your heart. You'll watch your heart motivation. Even yesterday, as I was reading this email from World Food Program, and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to give tomorrow. I'm going to go to the office. I'm going to go online. I'm going to give. As I'm thinking this, in my heart, this other thought comes up that says, I am better than all these other people that don't give to the poor. And that's just, I mean, so silly. But it's pride, right? And this is all from Kenny, actually, our media pastor. We're talking about kind of giving and stuff like that on Sunday. And basically, you know, PSAM was sharing at the town hall meeting that some people are having some issues with the fact that the amount of giving to the building fund was shared. You know, the amount was revealed, basically. And people were kind of having an issue with that and stuff like that. And how they were saying, isn't it unbiblical? You know, isn't it unbiblical for us to share the amount? Because, you know, God says, what you do with your right hand, don't let your left hand know. But Kenny was kind of sharing that, you know what? It's only a problem. It's only an issue if the person that was giving had a desire to get the recognition from men. Like if that person's heart is pure and he or she doesn't care about what people will think about their giving, then it's not an issue. Then that command is really, it's not an issue because that person doesn't care if the whole church knows how much he or she gave because it doesn't affect them because he wasn't doing it for that recognition anyway. But it only applies to people that were doing it to gain some recognition, to get some kind of whatever, you know, pride for giving. And once you have that heart, then it doesn't matter if you reveal the amount to the people or not. You've already got an issue. You've already got a problem. And it really, it's an issue of your heart. So I can do this WF, the World Food Program thing, and I can give a certain amount, but if I'm doing it, you know, with that prideful heart of like, oh, I'm better than these people that don't give, and, you know, I'm something special because I give to the poor. I mean, I've already got an issue. I've already got a problem. And it doesn't matter if I don't tell people. If I tell people, I need to deal with it with God, you know. But if I'm giving to the poor and I have this heart of, you know, I'm just going to be obedient to God, you know, I don't care what people are going to say about me or not say about me, you know, you get that issue sorted out with God first, then I can come up here and tell you guys, hey, I'm going to give to WFP. And it's not an issue because I'm not doing it to impress people. You know what I'm saying? So watch your heart when you're giving. And then the last part is, I mean, when we're talking about mercy ministries, giving to the poor and stuff like that, the last part is material things are good. Money is good. You're doing practical things is good. Building the homes and providing water. All that stuff is very necessary. But ultimately, we need to preach the gospel, you know? That's what it comes down to. When we talk about mercy ministry, especially as a church, as Christians, it's good, it's important, I believe, that we go out and give to the poor and we take care of the poor. But unless we bring the gospel to them, transformation is not going to happen, you know? I mean, that's exactly what Jesus talks about, you know? Who cares if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? You know, ultimately it's incomplete. And I mean, when we look at Korea, what really got Korea out of its mess was not the money or the material things that the countries around them gave to them. It was the gospel. You know, it was the good news that was preached. And when people started embracing and people started really giving themselves to prayer and giving themselves to the Lord, God's blessing. I mean, it's a miracle, really, if you see what happened in Korea in a really short span of time, but it happened as a result of the blessing that God kind of gave to Korea. So, material things are good, and we, you know, our church, we are trying to step out in local ministry and reaching out to the poor and stuff like that, but at the end, we need to be preaching the gospel. We need to be using our words. We do our good deeds and we gain their trust, but we also need to open our mouths and talk about Jesus Christ with them and bring true transformation, true life into them. So, three things about giving to the poor and God's heart for the poor. So let's just meditate on that and see how God wants to speak to you through this time. Let's just worship. Mon's going to come and lead us. A time of worship. I'll just pray real quick. Father, just as we worship you, as we spend this time with you, I pray that you will come and speak to us and kind of just pinpoint areas in our heart, areas in our lives where we need to grow, and we just want to And we just want to hear from you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
You're my rock and my
Let's pray together. Let's pray for ourselves that we would be sensitive and we would have God's heart for the poor, that God's heart of compassion. Let's also pray for SP Mercy Ministry as we are just starting up. Let's pray for God's guidance and direction. And then if we can just pray also for the country, Ivory Coast, and just pray for God's peace. And if you've seen movies like Hotel Rwanda or, you know, other movies about what's going on in Africa, it's gruesome, you know? The fighting and the war that happens. So just pray for God's peace, and let's pray for the people that are living in fear and stuff like that. Let's just pray for God to do something in Africa. So let's lift them up as well. So let's pray together. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Pray for Pastor O, New Life Church, which is a church we go to for our worship conference. And Pastor Tang, who's a senior pastor of New Life Church. Let's pray for Center of Peace Orphanage, which is our contact, orphanage contact in Cambodia. And also let's pray for the Philippines. Let's pray for Solomon's Clinic, which is a clinic for, I think, recovered leprosy patients, and also Mr. Jang, who's doing a lot of ministry in the Philippines, and also for Bhutan. Let's lift up those countries together. Let's pray for the SP ministries. Let's pray for IP team, Cascade, and The Well. And also let's pray for campus ministry that Pastor Sophia heads up. And this is the fellowship that she goes to, Hong Kong U International Christian Fellowship. And she's visiting them today. So let's just pray for that as well, that she'll be able to really bless the campus of Hong Kong U. And so let's pray for the ministries at SP. Let's pray for our house churches today, MacDaddy, Tregunter, Causeway Bay, and Kowloon. Some have already stopped meeting, but some are still meeting. This is the last week. Let's just pray for all the house churches that's meeting today, that God would really bless them, help them have a great time as their last one before the break. So let's pray for our house churches. pray for the SP move. Let's just pray for God's provision. Let's pray that God would continue to lead us and provide for us, and that our church would continue to come together and give generously. And let's also pray for a building, that we'll be able to find the right building. And also let's pray, continue to pray for the Vine, that God would bless that church as well, so that they may really glorify God in this city as well. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. We just pray that you will continue to speak to us today, and just stir our hearts, God, with the real love and real passion for you in all that we do today. Watch over us, God. I pray for your peace, your presence, and your blessing over each and every one of us here today. And we want to live to really bring joy to your heart. So, Holy Spirit, lead us. Help us to be sensitive to your voice. And we thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.